This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 6th, 2013, episode 864.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
That's right, today is your weekly two-minute warning to get busy and surf the web for off-kilter classifieds and email them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with bad ads in the subject line. Every Friday, Glenn and Jamie perform a dramatic reading of a select group of those ads that you send in, and the astute listener who submitted what we deem to be the worst of the best is it wins a fantastic prize, and this week's prize is provided by Uncle Jimmy's Hangin' Balls. Uncle Jimmy's Hangin' Balls and Licky Things help to combat stall boredom by providing horses entertainment in the stall and at the same time providing them with much-needed minerals and nutrients. Uncle Jimmy has training treats covered, too, with Uncle Jimmy's Squeezy Buns. Every deliciously soft, squishy treat is individually wrapped for freshness, and your pockets don't get gummed up either. Ask for Uncle Jimmy's Hangin' Balls, Licky Things, and Squeezy Buns at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can go online to uncle-jimmies.com. Now sit back and enjoy this previously aired masterpiece from the Hit'em Audio Vault, featuring vaccine trauma drama, helpful hints for horse folks, fantastic comeback stories, and some over-the-top, really bad ads.
Well, howdy, Jamie. Happy Friday.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It is good to be here, and it's good that it's Friday. Yeah. I mean, come on. Chad has been flying nights all week long, so he basically leaves at noon and comes home at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I hate that. I miss my husband. It sucks.
Now, be honest. Do you miss your husband, or do you miss your husband's help now that you have a baby?
There's a little bit of both of those things. I'm sick of it.
Is he changing diapers, by the way? Is he a good diaper changer?
He is fantastic. He is a great dad. You know, the only problem is that Lucas is in a little bit of a, he's in a phase where he only wants his mama. And so, you know, I try to go out and ride in the morning. And so Chad's like, I'll watch the kid, you know, once he gets up at like 10. So it's a little warm for us, but we have to hustle out and ride. And apparently he just cries the whole time that I'm outside. So he is trying so hard. He's being such a good dad, but Lucas just really, he just wants mama right now. And let me tell you, it is really awesome for the first time in my life to be handed a baby and it actually stops crying as opposed to starts. It's never happened to me before. And it's really cool. Like, wait, oh, you wanted me. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, as opposed to, ah!
I can honestly say Jennifer and I have never had that experience. They still just cry when I pick them up.
Me neither. It's awesome, by the way. It's really kind of fun.
Poor Chad must be feeling like he's a leftover at this point.
Oh, I don't. It doesn't make him happy, that's for sure. But I'm like, stop trying to wrestle with him, okay? He is like 10 weeks old. He can't wrestle.
Yeah, there's time for throwing him on the beanbag chair in another year or two.
Oh, yeah. And you know what else happened this week? Oh, I felt it's awful. And I guess what, you know, I do this to our horses all the time and we don't think twice about it. But when it is your child, he got vaccines for the first time. He got vaccinated. Oh, my God. I cried. It was so awful because he's just sitting there. He's like on the thing. He's happy, all happy.
Happy. Hey,
like starts screaming bloody murder. And you can't explain it. My doctor She's like, it's doses of love, okay? Doses of love. And I'm like, tell him that he hates me now. And he cried the rest of the day yesterday. It was just awful. It broke my heart. But again, we do it to our horses all the time. I'm like, can you do it on the other side of the neck? No, just kidding.
On to this brand new ranch. It was owned by a bunch of fancy pants, but they did have several high dollar trucks and trailers. Well, there was barns and pens. It was under construction, and I was informed by phone I'd receive my instruction in a video arriving in a padded mailer. It said, sort the cows in pen 11, then bring us a tag so we can scan them. And I didn't have a clue, but I took a sack full of them to headquarters. There was a lady at a computer typing in numbers, and the more she typed, the more I felt dumber, and she said, yep, 501's too old. Gotta go back and sort her. I replied, I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scroll me back to where I'm from, cause I don't need no printout telling me that it's time to wean. Never seen a calf pulled by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, my security pass / photo ID opened the gate and picked out a horse for me, and you punch in a code and it'd start an automatic feeder. Of course, you still had to step over what them cows was downloading, and you did hair analysis with a digital modem and put a cow up on the screen, it'd tell you which bull's gonna breed her. Well, then they give me this laptop from my saddlebags, and it got dusty out riding drag, and I knew the boss was gonna have my hide. Well, they said, just boot it up, open the windows, something about a mouse and a bunch of menus, so I hauled off and kicked it. I kept the windows closed because it was freezing outside. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed. Scroll me back to where I'm from, because I don't need no printout telling me which stall to clean. Never seen a horse shod by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, then they start talking downsizing and linking up. I told them I was heading for the tall and the uncut. They could stick that Pentium right in their AOL. There's faxing emails and hazing the web, and they even had a megabyte RAM. That sounds inbred. I reckon those people wouldn't know the difference between a hard drive and a paper trail. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. Don't need no information highway to get back to where I'm from. And I don't need no printout telling me which colt is green. Never seen a bronc broke by a machine. Besides, this little cell phone just don't fit good in my jeans. I ain't no cowhand.com. I ain't no http://, all one word, all little letters, www.cowhand.com. Yep, that's what you get when you try to cross one of them computers with a cowboy.
Well, howdy, Helena.
Hi, we have stars and cauliflower today.
That's right. That's what we did, actually.
That's about what like my life boils down to.
Stars and cauliflower and bacon.
You have to throw the bacon in.
I do. Every time.
I know. I'm a big bacon fan, too, you know.
Pepper like, bacon. I love pepper bacon. You ever
pepper
had that?
Bacon? No.
Yeah, they actually cover the outside of it when they cure it in pepper, ground pepper.
Oh, my gosh.
So when you cook it, it adds the pepper flavor to the salty bacon. Oh, it's so good.
You know what I had this weekend, though?
What's that?
Ready for this? BLT raviolis.
What? So it was a ravioli with BLT stuff. What? They have the lettuce in there?
It was spinach. Okay. So, you know, you can get spinach stuffed raviolis. Yeah. Well, these were made from scratch, like homemade pasta and everything. Is spinach, ricotta, as they say in my family. So, and then bacon.
Oh, like, yum.
Actually, I think it was pancetta. It was pancetta.
Bacon and ravioli. Ugh.
And Spanish. And you know, of course, fresh tomato, like all mashed up into this like little sauce that you put inside the raviolis. It was crazy good.
Now, do BLT. You use red sauce or do you use white sauce or what do you use for that?
Well, this particular recipe was a white sauce. So it was, it was really, really good.
Sounds good. Now you're making me hungry. And then we're going to talk about food again today.
Yep.
Oh, geez. It's good we do this right before lunch because I have to eat right after.
I know. Me too.
So, Helena, why don't we go head off right away and talk about food some more?
Jeez, Glenn. Step outside of your comfort zone or anything. It is one of your favorite topics. And, of course, we have one of my favorite guests on the Horse Radio Network, Kat Voitalok, and she is the genius behind Eat Your Tart Out. So we're going to say welcome to Kat and her and this month's recipe. All right. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm a big fan of cauliflower. And guess what? Kat's got something really yummy for us. Glenn, you don't have to eat it.
That's good.
But I want to hear all about it. Like, I think I might actually be able to make this. So... Welcome, Kat. I'm so glad to have you back. Tell me how to make this awesome, yummy cauliflower salad.
Well, thank you for having me. It's good to talk to you guys again. This cauliflower salad is one of the easiest things to throw together, and I think it's by far one of the most popular things I ever make for picnics. Now, I understand, Glenn, you don't like cauliflower, which is fine.
No, it's too much like a vegetable.
I don't know. I found that it works so well for like things if you're trying to like cut down on carbs. It's a great way to kind of substitute in for things. But this salad is just one of those things that's just, it's probably not the most healthy thing, but it is so loaded in fiber. It's ridiculous. It's so good.
So there's a balance. There's a little zen balance there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What do you think they would call it? Like, is there like a feng shui for food? You think, you know, you get just that right unhealthy with healthy.
Well, I know it's called Ayurvedic, and they do things based on kind of what your body needs and your body types, and it's feeding for that kind of health. But I've never heard of like that balancing the good with the bad to kind of just make it all even.
Well, my body needs one of the ingredients in here, that's for sure.
What, bacon?
Bacon, yes.
Bacon, your body. Sorry, Kat, we're going off on a tangent as we usually do.
Oh, no, I think it's fun, so no worries.
But I like, of course, that you would know, like, that there's something called Ayurvedic foods. I love that about you. All right, go ahead. Do your thing. Sorry.
It's cauliflower salad. Let's go. It's five ingredients. It's so easy. So as long as you can make bacon, you can make this recipe. So it's super easy. So basically it's peas, peanuts, cauliflower, bacon, and ranch dressing, a little salt and pepper. But that's it. Like all you're doing is just throwing the ingredients together and it makes for a great salad, great side. And it sounds like a weird combination. It looks lovely, but it tastes amazing. Like you just get all these awesome little flavors and it's crunchy. It's got a lot of texture. It's just so good. I love it.
You're not cooking the cauliflower. This is raw.
This is raw, yeah. So it's literally just all you have to do is cook the bacon, cut it into small pieces, and then you throw everything together and you're done.
You don't cook peas either?
Nope.
Oh.
You thaw them out. So basically, like what I always do, but this time of year, this is why I wanted to feature this recipe, is we're getting into the spring vegetables. And I think fresh peas definitely make this. So you'd have to cook them or steam them really quickly, but they won't take very long. But normally for this recipe, if I know I'm going to make it a day ahead, you know, I'll just take a bag of peas out of the freezer. I'll just put it in my refrigerator. By the time I'm ready to throw this recipe together, the peas are already thawed, and I just throw them all into the mix, and you're done.
I like how there's peanuts and bacon together. There's two food groups that you can put in anything, right?
All right, so see, you started off with only liking one, and now you have two, so we're
getting better. Like peanuts, yeah.
You do like peanuts, and you like ranch dressing, right?
Yes, I could just do this without the cauliflower.
And then, that would not be very zen. That would not be food shui-ish.
Right.
You got to have the cauliflower
in it. We have to think of a word for that.
You could probably, and I'm not a fan of this either, but you could probably do this with broccoli.
You probably could. I think it's just the cauliflower actually is just kind of a very muted flavor, so it isn't very overpowering, and I like the crunch of it, whereas I think the broccoli, like, I think you can play around with it. I just never have because I love this recipe so much, but maybe that's a mission I have to get on, is trying to substitute broccoli. Like, my boyfriend hates peas, so he will never touch this, but I swear if he tried it, he would totally change his mind. So I'm thinking of, like, swapping that out for corn, you know, and trying something like that.
No, I think Glenn needs to make an aim to try some broccoli and get that in his diet.
Yeah, actually, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking take the cauliflower out and put chicken in. It would be really good. Cold
that,
chicken?
That the fiber,
but that wouldn't be fibrous.
It would, but that's proteinish. See, so I'm covering for the fiberish with
this
proteinish.
This isn't about protein. The peanuts give you your protein.
Okay, Kat, it would be good though, wouldn't it? With
stop it.
Cold chicken.
Don't say it, Kat. Really don't do it. don't go there.
I can't argue. It would be good, but it takes away from the fibrous, delicious salad that you could be having.
Geez, you guys are getting up now. That's all.
Girl, make him eat his vegetables.
Right.
Well, I like that it's easy. I like that it's easy because I am not a good cook because I don't have a lot of patience with complicated recipes.
Right.
So I really do like that this is something that even I can do.
Yeah, that's really, and I mean, even if you said, okay, I'm not a cook at all and I can't cook bacon, I'm afraid I'm going to burn the house down, that's when you can buy those packages of pre-cooked bacon and you're all set. Like, it's the super easiest recipe, I feel, because all you're doing is basically taking five ingredients, a little salt and pepper, throwing it together, and you're done. Like, that's it. So I think for any one of those people who might be a little self-conscious in the kitchen or have trouble boiling water, this is perfect.
Very good. Well, and of course, you can find that recipe for cauliflower or chicken salad at Eat Your Tart Out, eatyourtartout.com. Thank you so much, Kat, for joining us again this month. Well, after this commercial, Helena, we are going to be speaking to someone that I admire so much. I admire her, and I admire her horse. Her name is Caitlin Silman, and she is an eventer, and she has worked with Boyd Martin, one of the top eventers in the world, and his wife, Silva, who's a very, very good international dressage rider. She has worked with them at their Pennsylvania farm for years, I think 6 or 7 years now. So 2 years ago, I think it was 2011, at Memorial Day, there was a fire at True Prospect Farm, which is where Boyd kept his horses and had his operation. And it was his barn that burned. And Caitlin was actually with someone else, two other people. They lived on the property. And she was woken up by somebody saying that the barn's on fire. And they went down and helped get some of the horses out. There were many horses that died in that fire. But they helped get some of the horses out, and one of the horses that she helped get out was her own, Holsteiner mare by the name of Catch a Star. They call her Hoku.
I love that. I love Hoku.
And we all remember Boyd's horse, you know, that made the news and went on to do great things and, you know, became an international sensation and, you know, the Olympics and all that stuff. But there was also this horse. Now, Boyd's horse had received a good bit of smoke inhalation and had some lung damage. Caitlin's horse, Catch a Star Hoku, had a lot of exterior burns on her body. Over 30% of her body had second and third degree burns. So she, you know, she obviously took in some smoke too, but the biggest concern that the doctors had, the veterinarians had, was the burns on the outside of her body and whether they were going to heal properly. Well, Caitlin, you know, stuck through this horse's recovery and was there every step of the way.
Mm.
she was there. Boyd, you know, you'll hear her talk about Boyd, I'm sure, and how supportive he was. But she could not have done any more for this horse. And the miraculous thing is that next week she is competing for her first Rolex on Catch a Star.
I love that.
I know.
So that's
less than 2 years later. So let's talk to Caitlin about her amazing story and the amazing story of her horse. Well, Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us here on the Stable Scoop Radio Show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on.
Well, I know that you're less than a week away from heading to Kentucky. I don't know. Have you headed down there yet, or are you still in Pennsylvania?
Not yet. We're in Pennsylvania. We're in the home stretch. We leave on Monday, very early in the morning. So this time in a week, we'll be down there.
Now, you've been to Rolex, obviously, a bunch of times because of the certain gentleman that and lady that you work for. But
I have.
You have never ridden there, right?
No, this is my first time. I'm a rookie.
And this is also Hoku's first time, right?
It is. So both of us together, the girls, are making their first trip to Kentucky together.
Now, you have seen it, and you've obviously helped prepare Boyd's horses for it, and you've done everything that there is to do to get ready to go. How different is it now that you're the one getting ready to go with your horse?
It's not too much different, because although the horses that I've helped do the fitness on and care for getting ready to go, although they're not mine, since I take care of them, I do feel like they're mine, so I care for them just as much. But it's different when you're going. You sort of, you know, there's only a couple events in the beginning of the season leading up. We ran at Pine Top twice, and then Southern Pines, and then the Forks. So as you get closer, you just really hope that you have a good go everywhere, and it's different when you're going because, you know, every ride sort of counts. So it's exciting. It's very emotional. You get nervous, you get worried, you get excited, then you're nervous again. But it's really exciting.
When you said it was just a few days away, my heart started to race. It started to be a little bit faster for you. I actually felt that like, oh my gosh, it's just a few days away.
It's coming up, I know. And everything is so scheduled down to the last minute, the last gallops. You know, there's only a couple dressage rides left. There's only one jump school left. Like we're really down to the wire now.
Does that help having that kind of structure in your schedule? Does it help you?
It does. Because we really have a plan, and it doesn't leave you going, oh, should I jump today? Should I do this today? Should I do both? And Boyd is so experienced. I mean, he's had this planned out for months. So he knows exactly what we need to do. He knows exactly how to get the different horses fit. So I feel very safe in his program that I am as ready as I can be.
And of course, you're going to be kind of the darling down there this year because of your horse and everything that your horse went through a couple years ago. I bet you could not even imagine when you were in the middle of that and then the recuperation after that, a few short years later, you would be competing at Rolex with the same horse.
It's wild. It's been such a ride with her. And I mean, even this time last year, I had just done my very first advanced on her at the Forks. So it's been a whirlwind. I mean, last year was really one event at a time. And it's still every event I get through with her is just, it's very special. It's such a good feeling to have her back. And I mean, everyone was optimistic that I would sit on her again, but they really thought that I'd only be able to trail ride her. I don't think anyone ever thought she'd come back to be headed toward the 4-star or do any sort of eventing again. So she's really special.
How far had she come? Sorry, Helena. How far had she come along before the fire? How far along was
she? So when the fire happened, I had just finished my first CCI 2-star on her, and we had just been spotted and got her vetted for the Pan Am Games because she was second at Jersey Fresh, so she was at the top of the list at the moment to go to the Pan Ams for the U.S. And then she was in her last week of her holiday from Jersey Fresh when the fire happened. I think I was meant to start hacking her the next day, so she really... I didn't ride her from the show jumping at Jersey Fresh in May of, I guess it's 2011, all the way until the end of January of 2012. So she really had quite a lot of time off because she had been on a holiday from doing the 3-day at Jersey Fresh.
The recovery took some time. How long was she off before you actually could start riding her again after the fire?
The fire happened Memorial Day weekend. So what's that? When is that? In mid June?
Yeah, end of May.
End of May.
Yep.
So from she was off basically from the beginning of June, but really it was mid May because she hadn't been ridden since Jersey Fresh. So she was off from middle of May, and I started walking her at the end of January, tack walking her, and just slowly, it was a funny rehab process because it wasn't like she had any soft tissue injury like a tendon or like any ligament injury, but I had to go slow because I didn't know how much movement her back could take under the saddle.
Because that's where a lot of the burns were on her side and her back. Right?
Yeah. Well, she'd burned directly on her side, like the side of the bad side is the left side of her body. She's burned directly on the left side of her neck, across her belly, and then her hip and her left stifle got it pretty badly. But then I think eventually all of her skin sort of sloughed off. It was like getting a really bad sunburn, like it all sort of bubbled and then peeled off. So even the parts that weren't directly burnt, all the skin sloughed off. And so she had a lot of heat damage to the top of her back. So although when she first went into the hospital, that didn't look like it was directly burned, about a week later after the fire, it blistered and all the skin came off. And that's really the part that she lost all the pigment in the top of her back. So it's light pink skin and she can't grow hair there because she's lost the pigment. So when I was bringing her back, we didn't know if that skin would be able to handle riding her or not.
And obviously it has.
And obviously it has. But, I mean, it's a credit to Judy McSwain's Police Horse Products because I lucked out. I had a very old, it was probably the first half pad I ever bought when I started riding. I had a Police Horse half pad sitting in my closet, and it was the only half pad that I had that had fleece down the spine, because a lot of half pads have a gap in the fleece there. They don't actually cover the spine with fleece. And so I started riding her in that. And because of that, I mean, it's really the reason that I was able to ride her right away. And I didn't have any setbacks with her, which was lucky. Like the skin never opened. I never had to back off. I slowly just kept trotting for longer and longer, and then I started cantering a little bit, and I started getting more comfortable with sitting down in the saddle and being able to sit on her back, and off we went.
And of course, Fleeceworks is one of our sponsors here at the Horse Radio Network, and you know, it's amazing to hear that particular pad, that's how you found them. Now you're one of their sponsored riders now, right? Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was lucky. I had mentioned this part of the story in an interview with Warm Bloods Today, and I guess whoever runs or owns the magazine is also friends with Judy, and sent the magazine over to her and said, "Oh, look what this girl said about your pads in her article." And she contacted me about a week later and was sort of touched by the story, and that's how our relationship started.
And you have some really nice police work pads now, don't you? Some of the newer ones.
I have really nice police work pads. Judy spoiled me. Okay, well, she has a fresh police work pad for every day of the week. I look like the warehouse for police works. I have so many pads. So we're really lucky that she supports us.
And you found that those pads are continuing to work out for you, even though she's healed. Why do you like them? What's the thing you like the best about them?
They don't irritate her skin at all, and they sit on her very well. Like the fit under my saddle is good, so I don't have to put a lot of pads on her. And Judy makes the pads where the fleece is already attached to the saddle pad. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing is there can't be any friction. So my saddle sits right on her. Right on her pad, and her fleece is such high quality, it doesn't irritate her at all, and so nothing moves, and I'm able to do hours of sitting trot in the dressage or gallop for 12 minutes, and it doesn't bother her at all.
Just before we get back to current times here and you heading off to Rolex, I wanted to tell Helena, you know, when you were treating in that period of time, really that 8-9 months there that you were treating your horse, you know, from what I hear through the grapevine, you were there every day. You were one of the most dedicated owners that has ever treated a horse. At one point, you were putting on a pound of silver sulfadine cream twice a day.
It was quite the process. I think New Bolton was getting sick of me. They were ready to kick me out. I was in the ICU for so long, just sitting in her stall with her. And she's a picky eater, and she wouldn't eat her grain. So I'd go out and hand-pick grass and fill, like, rubber feed troughs with all this hand-picked grass as much as I could. And I have to, I mean, Boyd let me go to see her as much as I wanted and hang at the hospital as long as I wanted. He never said, "Oh, are you going to come back to work?" Or, you know, everybody was so supportive. And then when she came home, it was in the middle of summer, so I was really worried about the bugs and her being uncomfortable in the heat. Because imagine, you know, having a terrible, terrible sunburn and sitting somewhere where it's hot.
Yeah. And with bugs.
And with bugs. So a young boy named Jackson Roberts, who worked for Philip at the time, very nicely went to Lowe's or Home Depot and bought, like, screening for screened-in doors or screened-in porch, and stapled it all over her stall and bought fans and hung the fans. So she had the most decked-out stall in the whole barn. It was totally covered in screening, so no bugs could get in, and there were fans covering the walls, so she had constant airflow in there. So I think we took as best care of her as we could, and I think that's also a lot of the reason why she recovered so well.
Well, now, did she tell you when she was ready to go back to work?
I think she was ready since the second she came home. I don't think she could sort out why she wasn't getting to go be turned out and why she was locked in. And
a pound of cream a day didn't give her a clue.
The cream all over. She was such a good patient, though. Like, she's a funny mare. She likes to be groomed and stuff, but she'll tell you when she's had enough of, you know, leave me alone, I've had enough. And she always should. Perfectly still, let me put the cream on her, and it couldn't have been comfortable. I mean, they were serious open burns, and she always let me take care of her. She was great for all her medication, and, you know, now I try and give her a tube of gas guard, and she shakes her head and turns her nose up at me, but she never put up a fight for any of the care.
Now, how old is Catch a Star at this point?
She's 12. I actually think she might be 13 this year. This summer she turns 13.
Well, she has a lot of time left yet.
She does.
So what are you, obviously, you know, this is a dumb question, but for some reason we ask it every time somebody new is going off to a competition like Rolex. What do you hope to accomplish? And your answer is going to be, I hope to get around and do well, right? Is that going to be your
thing? I'm hoping for a bit more than that. I do want to get around, but I'm not going there to come last. I've got bigger plans than that.
Good.
I would love to be in the top 20. I mean, I'd love to be better than that, but I'd be pretty happy with the top 20 finish.
Yeah, I love that, though. Like, yeah, I'm not going to be last.
That's good.
That would be my motto.
She's been working with Boyd and Silva for too long.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, obviously, I want her to come home sound and healthy, but I'm a competitor. I'm not going there to canter around.
What is her biggest strength and biggest weakness?
I think her biggest strength and my biggest strength is the cross country, and then our biggest weakness is the show jumping. She's a little bit tricky in the show jumping. She's a very careful horse, and she's a little bit of an unorthodox jump, and for some reason the show jumps, although they fall down, they really seem to worry her, so I have to ride her really accurate to the show jumps, and we sort of both have to be on the same page in the show jumping for it to go well, and the dressage could go really well, or it could be really exciting. I'm not really sure what's going to happen there, but Silva's been helping us quite a bit, and she's done her best. She did her best test to date at the fork, so hopefully, I mean, we should be in pretty good shape going into the competition.
And of course, there's that amazing stadium that you get to ride in. You stood in the side, you sat in the seats before, and now you get to ride in it at the Kentucky.
I know. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Well, we're going to be rooting for you both. Good luck, and we'll check in with you after the competition.
Great. I look forward to talking to you guys after.
All right. Thank you so much, Caitlin.
Thanks,
we'll talk
Caitlin.
To you again soon.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Well, now it's time for our Tech and Habits segment for this week.
And for today's Hack and Habits segment, we have Coach Jen, who's going to do a review. She's going to talk to us about, well, I'm personally a little bit of a shoe fanatic. And if I can combine shoes.
No, we hadn't heard that in the show before.
If I can combine shoes, well, an appreciation for shoes and riding, I'm always happy to hear it. So Jen's going to talk to us about the Dublin Ladies Pilgrim Zip Front Boots. Bring it on, girl.
Bring it on. Like most horse people, I will not blink an eye at dropping $100 on a pair of equestrian footwear. But when I need to buy something that I have to wear to the grocery store everywhere, or heaven forbid, have to go to an office to go to work every day. $19.99 is my
limit.
Yeah,
she won't spend over $20 on sneakers.
Well, because you can't really ride in them.
That's right.
Right, exactly. So when the Dublin Ladies Pilgrim Zip Front Boots came to my attention, I was all over them at a $92 price point.
Mm.
You know, in today's equestrian marketplace, not a bad price for a riding or stirrup-friendly zip front riding shoe that is multi-purpose because it's adorably stylish.
Yeah, it looks like something you could wear to the mall and not have any. Nobody would even say, "Oh, she's wearing riding shoes."
Well, yeah, the two-tone color makes it kind of fun. I love the toe, like the black toe and the tan and upper.
It's very rock climbing esque.
Yeah, it almost looks like a hiking shoe.
Yeah, it's hip. Yeah, it's chic.
It's chic, and that's all the rage right now. So I can be stylish, haha. Because you know, goodness gracious, when I go to the big box store, whatever I buy there ain't stylish. But I can be styling in my horsewear.
That's right. The girls at Chasing a Fox would be very proud of you.
Thank you. That says something right there. But it's very stirrup friendly. It has a athletic wear or hiking gear kind of a style to it, but is absolutely a riding shoe. The sole is not chunky and heavy, and it's a lightweight shoe overall. And it's got those little, for lack of a better term, stays in the arch, so it's stable when it's in the stirrup iron.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a stirrup friendly shoe, but it is stylish and fun to wear because you know you spend an hour or three in the saddle at a time, and then the rest of your time is spent trudging about the barn, going to the feed store, blah, 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 blah. So you don't have to change your shoes.
That's a really important point, I think, because even some paddock boots, some boots that are designed for riding and sold through equestrian outlets, are not very stirrup friendly.
Right. And still more of them, in my opinion, are not walking around friendly, because a lot of the ones that you see coming out right now are a traditional paddock shoe, very English in nature.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you're either wearing high heels or platforms. They're really not stable for trudging around the barn, walking through pastures, driving the car. And these are. They have a really happy balance that way in that the sole is wide enough and thin enough that it's comfortable and stable, but it still is comfortable for your foot. So they really, I personally think they nailed it as far as combining comfort and style in a shoe. And the sole comes up over the sides, so you don't have that little stitched on or glued on piece right there at floor level for all the goo to seep in.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's not going
to
be goo seepage.
You need a toothbrush to clean it out? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's the section. Yes.
Yeah. I don't want to have to manage my boots. I don't want to have to maintain my boots.
I have a hard enough time brushing our teeth a couple times a day.
I know. You know, I'm the type of person who, when she's cleaning out her barn and sweeping the floor, my horse will come up to see what I'm doing. I'll sweep him.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, you rolled in the mud here. Let me sweep. And I take my corn broom and I go over him to get the mud off. So I'll take that same broom and do my boots as well.
There you go. Well, it's ease of cleaning. For the Pilgrim. Yes.
Now, this is synthetic and leather, right? It's a sort of a combination of...
Yes. Yeah. The tongue, which is also padded comfortably, is a synthetic nylon. The toe cap, which is not a traditional straight across the top toe cap. It's a more modern, useful toe cap so that, you know, how you use your shoe to shove things out of the way. It'll protect the toe. Those are synthetic, and then the remainder is leather.
Now, you know how, Helena, how I can tell whether she likes a shoe or not is after she gets it, and she got these a couple weeks ago, after she gets it, do I see her wearing it? And she basically hasn't taken these off. She, you know, I made her take them off to go to bed the other day.
Hey.
But she hasn't taken them off, so I think that's probably a pretty good indication of how much.
Yeah, these are next to the front door. They're my everyday shoes.
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, we're discovering here then that my good friend, Coach Jen, also has a little bit of a shoe problem. Well, maybe it's not a problem, but has a little bit of a shoe
fetish
affinity. No, you can't call it a fetish
because
a fetish, I think, implies that there's something unhealthy about it. And that's not the case.
Okay.
Let's just go over there. she has an affinity for shoes. Just because they're riding shoes.
Wait a minute. I'm still stuck on fetishes are unhealthy. maybe a different show. Go ahead.
Let's leave it at that. Thank you very much.
You have your own Facebook fan page for that whole thing. Can you just keep it there, please?
Okay.
So
Jennifer, positives and negatives. Of the Dublin's lady, we got to say what it is again. Dublin Ladies Pilgrim Zip Front Boot.
Yes, it's the zip front. It casual, stylish, lightweight, easy to take care of, easy on and off because of the zippers. The downsides are because it has a padded cuff, which I love. It's cut a little bit lower, so it kind of sits down below your ankle bone. It is a little tough to get a fantastically stylish fit from a half chap because it's got a padded cuff.
Oh, so the half chap won't go over top of them too well.
Not, and it's not going to be gorgeous, but they're not a show boot. And I don't wear half chaps with them. Yeah, I just wear my boot cut breeches with them. That's a down if you're a half chap fanatic and you always ride in them. So that could be a little bit, you're going to have to wear a half chap that's a little bit more generously cut through the ankle. And they can be hard to find at your local stores. Not all stores carry them. So when you go into your local tack shop, if you're a in-person shopper, you want to ask your local retailer to carry them because they are readily available through distributorships. So if they carry horse blankets and stuff, they're going to be able to carry these. So that's probably the only two minuses I've got for them.
And you can find them at Equestrian Collections. They're $92. So as Jennifer said, that's the right price as compared to some other companies that are coming in at $200. So, yeah, so this is great. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer. Six flake bale. How many flakes?
This is going to be a 4.5 boot.
4.5. Woo! 4.5 flakes. That's pretty good.
That's good. Yeah. Jen doesn't give her flakes out very easily.
I know.
Speaking of flakes, I got to get hay today. It's a good thing we talked about this.
Go out to the barn, let him out and work my arms. It's kind of like a meditation, sort of like yoga, it's my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I rake. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay, what a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls. Yeah, boyfriend. I contemplate the problems in the big city. It makes me feel sad, it makes me feel pity. I'm grateful for this life I lead, as I pet the cat and kiss my gelding's cheek. I fluff him up and lick him clean, makes me healthy, keeps me lean. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay, what a beautiful way. I'll be back tomorrow, that's for sure. what goes in must come out. Isn't that what life's about? I rake them level, it looks so neat as I give the horses one more treat. Head of the house for another cup, this time of day life's looking up. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay, what a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
And it's that day again, folks, the one everybody looks forward to, Trading Tips with Michelle. With me here in the studio is Michelle Bergeron from Wright-Lead Equestrian Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Not literally in the studio, but at least vocally in the studio. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm with you in spirit, Jennifer.
Oh, thank you. Now, let's compare weather notes, because I'm in Ocala, Florida, and it is currently 85 degrees. What is it there in Baton Rouge?
Oh, let me run in here and check. It's hot, and the humidity is out of control, I'll tell you that. It did rain today. Let's see. It's 6:10, and it's 93 degrees, and so the heat index is 105.
Oh, my gosh.
Keep wiping the sweat off my nose. It makes me crazy.
Awesome. Wow. So speaking of warm weather, yep. one of the struggles that many of us have when we go on the road is how to store, especially hard feed, sweet feed, pelleted mm-hmm. hay, how to store that kind of stuff safely so that it stays fresh and away from tiny livestock. Mm-hmm. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah.
Oh, I
can tell you
would.
What we do.
I knew you would.
What we do is, if we're getting ready to go to a show, everybody brings either a grocery bag or a lunch bag or a Ziploc bag, depending on how much their horse eats per feeding. And they put enough feed for one feeding in each of the bags, fold it over, duct tape it down, so it's a nice little packet, write the name of the horse very legibly in marker, the day, and the feeding. So we'll have one for Lightning for Friday p.m. And then in it, the supplements are already mixed in. So all you have to do is dump the bag.
Tear it open and pour it out.
We have one, yep, for every feeding, plus an extra one because, yes, we have gotten stuck at the horse show. Or vehicle problems.
Yeah.
So you went to on Easter, no less, and no, there were not feed stores open.
Oh,
have your extra feed. Have your extra hay. Okay, that's what we do with the feed. Nice for the fettos that eat almost nothing, they just get a Ziploc bag with their name written on it.
Mm-hmm.
So easy.
So
put it, and then I have the girls put it in a separate bucket.
Ah.
And then it all is all in one space. Also, what I've used, you can go like to Walmart or Target or wherever and get plastic containers with a lid that snaps with a handle on it. And then you can put the horse's name on that and put the feed in there and keep it that way. Nothing can gnaw through that.
That's a very good idea. Yeah.
If you're only going for the weekend, it's highly unlikely that anything is going to be gnawing on it because there's going to be so much activity on the showgrounds or at the clinic site. The creepy crawlies are probably not going to come out to eat or feed, but you never know.
You never know.
For hay, when the girls go to Pony Club rallies, we ration it out and tie it up with each, you know, feeding with hay string.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to non-Pony Club rallies, we'll just take the whole bale. We have the bale covers that we transported in. But we don't leave it in that because it is so humid here. And if you keep that zipped up tight and leave it for an extended period of time, and I'm not talking about a weekend, I'm talking about for a week or more, it's going to get gross in there and it's going to mold up.
Ew.
So at least crack it open, or, you know, leave it open during the day, close it at night, you know, whatever. But don't leave it in the back of the truck to get rained on or to blow out as you're driving down the road. That's what we do.
One of the things that I've seen a lot of people struggle with, too, is when you have to take hay along, and whether or not you like to divide it up or leave it as a complete bale, setting the bale or the balettes, if you will, directly on the floor of your trailer, whether it's the dressing room, the tack room, or the cargo space, that seems to be asking for moldy hay on the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So get up off the floor.
We have pallets under ours. But even those, you know, you've got to, because stuff will fall up in them, either be it the plastic kind or the wooden kind. And so hopefully you have a whole horde of working students and you can go in and get all cleaned out. Otherwise, that's you.
Yeah, that's you.
But you've got to circulate. You've got to circulate the air.
Yeah.
Is the bottom line.
And it gets the bottom of your horse trailer gets hot and then cold and then damp and there's humidity down there. So get that hay up off the floor somehow.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I like the little rationing method. That's a great idea because it's a no-brainer.
Well, and then
you pick up the sack that says Lightning's name.
If we have a bunch of girls and they'll divide up, okay, so and so is going to feed in the morning, so and so is going to feed in the afternoon, and that way not everybody has to get there at the crack of dawn, and we rotate it out, and they know, oh, there's Jake's food. Okay, nope, that's for tomorrow morning. Let me pick up the one for this morning. All right, and then it's right there, and it's almost idiot-proof, really, unless you can't read or you don't know who your horses are, in which case we probably wouldn't have left you to feed anyway.
Well, you know, and in case everything falls apart and you have to have the people who are stabling next to you feed the horse.
That has happened as well.
You know, stuff happens. Or somebody gets the wrong bag of grain. You know what they got the wrong thing of. That happens too. So that's a great organization tip. Relieves stress a little bit. You can be bleary eyed and still get the feeding done. Yeah. I like that a lot.
It's easy to pack. It doesn't take but just a minute to
just
throw
dump it in there
together.
And tape it shut.
And it's easier for me. It's easier to carry that than it is to carry the whole damn bag of feed.
And then
people forget it's in the back of the trailer.
And then you've wasted a half a bag of grain.
And then they go to the next horse show.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it's gone bad. Well, that's a great tip for all the traveling we do all year round nowadays. I have another handy-dandy tip for those of us who are grooming fanatics. There's a lot of horses out there whose manes go on the wrong side.
Mm-hmm.
Or whose manes go...
That makes me crazy.
Somehow I knew it would.
It really does. I swear it does.
And it seems horses whose manes go on the wrong side, it's only part of it that goes on the wrong side. Yeah. So,
or it goes right down the middle and half of it goes on the left.
Half on the left, half on the right.
Yeah.
So I kind of got used to this because early on in my equestrian career, I had a couple of horses that I had to work with a lot whose manes went straight up. Because they were pulled and they just grew straight up. They just looked like some kind of a something from a punk band.
Took a finger in their outlet.
Yeah, punk band. So there are two problems with training horses' manes. You have to train the hair that's already there, and you have to train the hair follicle that is continuing to grow more hair. So it's a two-pronged approach. For training the hair itself, anyone who has washed their hair and put it into a ponytail before it dries knows this trick. Because once your hair is dried 6 hours later and you take the hair scrunchie out, your hair is permanently shaped like a ponytail.
Yep.
You have trained the hair itself. So by wetting the hair first and then brushing it over and putting on a mane tamer or brushing it over and braiding it, the hair is going to train much, much faster. And that's soaking the hair. That's not just dampening it with a spray brush. You have to really soak
it. Spray it with a hose.
Yeah, spray it with a hose, folks. So
now, do you put anything on it like what do they call that? Braid aid or?
I don't.
Hairspray?
No, I don't, because from my point of view, that sort of negates it, because that is going to cause the hair follicle to evaporate out that water. I want the water to dry slowly in there. I've had much more success not treating the hair, just wet, thoroughly, thoroughly wet. And if you use the braid it over method, make big, fat, loose braids. Because when you make them tight, the horses scratch them out, and then you've pretty much negated the whole process.
And you've got a worse problem.
And you've got a much worse problem. And the braiding over allows the hair to dry in place. You've trained the hair shaft. But by leaving the braids in there well after it's dry, with as long a mane as you can put up with, you are training the hair follicle.
Hmm. How long do you leave your braids in?
At least 3 days.
Do they fall out, or do you take them out?
I'll usually leave them in for three, take them out for one. In for three, out for one. I don't like to leave the mane out for more than one full day, because what you'll see is after about 24 hours, you'll see it to start creeping back up again.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're trying to train the hair follicle, you don't want that to happen.
Got it. Yeah, so. Watch out. I got two on my list tomorrow.
Yeah, I avoid products for this process as much as I can. Okay. I try to keep the hair healthy in that if I wash it, I use a good quality conditioner.
Right.
Also, if you pull the horse's mane, pull it intelligently. I hate to see folks get out there and the horse's mane is all the way down their neck or 3/4 of the way down their neck, and they need it to be 4 inches for the horse show this weekend, and they pull it all at one time.
No.
That's not real kind to your horse's skin, but you're also setting yourself up for disaster as far as a stand-up mane is concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah. So plan ahead, folks. So that's my training tip for manes.
Cool. Very good. Yeah. I'll send you pictures after I get everybody all rigged up.
Use colorful rubber bands. It's more fun.
Yeah. I will have to dig some out. I think I just have plain old, you know, brown. And
no,
gray.
you go to the craft section at the multiplex and get the colorful rubber bands that they sell in the craft or office section.
Oh.
It's much more fun. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that would make it more fun.
There we go. Well, thanks again, Michelle Bergeron, for your handy dandy feed storage tip, and we'll be seeing you again soon. Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
And now it is time for Really Bad Ads.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
And on the prize table for today's really bad ads, Dr. Rose's Remedies gift pack. Dr. Rose's Remedies skin treatment and salve are 100% all natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective treatments for scratches, cuts, abrasions, and scrapes on horses, dogs, and cats. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. Next up, the Grooming Essentials Tote from horsegroomingsolutions.com. Your tote will be filled to the brim with products like these. The Silverado Detangler, perfect for horses with dry, brittle hair. Healthy Hair Care Hair Moisturizer, your economical, everyday way to keep skin and coats soft and healthy. Healthy Hair Care DermaClean Shampoo, the protein-enriched antibacterial shampoo. Healthy Hair Care Sunflower Sunscreen to protect your horse's skin and coat from UVA and UVB rays. And Silverado Coat Gloss Hair Polish for a show ring shine that helps repel dirt, dust, and stains. You can find all of these products and more at horsegroomingsolutions.com.
Hey, wait a minute. My pony needs all of those. Did you put all of my ads in today?
I did, yes.
Okay, good.
And filling out the table, 5 free bags of feed, forage, or supplement from Triple Crown Nutrition. Triple Crown Nutrition offers a complete lineup of fortified feeds, forages, and supplements to satisfy the needs of your whole herd. Whether you are looking for high fat, lower carbs, a senior diet, or sound nutrition for a growing horse, Triple Crown Nutrition has the answer. You can find them online at triplecrownfeed.com.
Now, that's what your pony needs, Glenn.
Yes.
The grain.
That's true. Lots and lots of food. He thinks so, too, by the way. You have the first one up today, by the way. These are ads. When we say the name, it's not the name of the person who put the ad in the paper or in Craigslist. It is the name of the person who submitted it to us, our wonderful listeners.
It's frightening how easy it is to find really bad ads on Craigslist. So just log on. Okay. Yes. Chelsea found this one, and this falls in the category of somewhat too much information. And you also, do you actually want people to come out and try this horse? Or are you trying to scare the crap out of everybody and not sell it? Because I would think you would want to sell this horse, but you're not trying very hard. 9-year-old Quater Paint Cross Mare for sale. Quater, Q-U-A-T-E-R. Quater paint mare for sale, $800 on John's Island. I don't know where that is. Lacey is a paint quarter cross mare. She needs experienced rider only. She hasn't been worked in a while due to my daughter getting extremely active in softball all year round. She has been on trail rides. The only problem is that she doesn't like to go slow.
Oh.
And she also has a lot of energy. And she also has a lot of spook. She also has a lot of spook in her. And we are moving and we cannot take her. She is very easy to learn, eager to learn, just needs someone with the time. I can send pictures if you request them. Like anybody's going to request any pictures of that horse whatsoever. I feel so sorry for her. She's been on trail rides, but hasn't been in a while because my daughter is so busy doing other stuff. She forgot all about her horse, but she only has one problem. It's this and this and this and this and this and this and this. Oh my gosh. Chelsea, good ad.
I love the last sentence too. She is very eager to learn, but just can't. That's what she needed to add. She just can't learn. She's eager, but not capable.
She's eager because she's running away with you.
That's right. That's a good one. Thank you, Chelsea. Sorting Cow sent this one. Oh, God, this is hard to read, too. This is going to be one of those. Horses and mule broke for sale to Good Home $1. The first pick of Pot of Gray, the Gelling. The next three are Skip the Mare. The last one is the Mule. Got that?
No.
I have a bay mare. She is 20-year mare and is $500 or best offers. I have a 16-year-old bay gelding, $375 a best offer. I have a mule, half donkey, half Belgian gelding, and he is $600.
No. It's a half Beelegan Geely-eyed ding.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I have a half donkey, half Beelygin Gilligudding.
He came from the Lord of the Rings.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. He's from the underworld.
All three horses are broke to ride in Cluing the Mule. Come see him and make an offer. Yeah. It's a new board game, Cluing the Mule.
Oh my god. The next one was sent in. We don't have this person's name. The email at the beginning is God and Horses. So if you don't want me saying your email, send your freaking name, okay? But God and Horses, send this one in. Horse, $900 in Raymond. Excuse me, there's no punctuation, and every number I say is actually a number, okay? I have a horse that 14, two hands, she broke. I really either want to trade for dirt bike or something. If you could please call me at phone number, and I'll be glad to tell you more. I am 12 years old and am texting this right now.
That's right. Okay. That's right. That was done by a text. No question.
Oh my goodness.
And she really wants the horse is just a pain in the butt, and she really wants a dirt bike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He or she. Or it's a little kid selling his sister's pony.
That's
what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you think mom knows that the pony is up for sale?
If there had been texting when I was a kid, this would have happened to me.
Yeah, your brothers would have sold your pony.
They would have sold my pony.
No question.
You'd gone outside and been like, come on, guy. Hello?
She would have heard vroom, vroom, from the backyard. Yeah, that would have been it. Beth sent the next one in. Selling my horse $600 in New Iberia, Louisiana. Some books written about that particular town. I'm selling my horse. She is good horse, rides good, and she would let anyone ride her. She is very fast horse, and don't kick or buck. You could stand behind her, and she want to do nothing. And she also dance. If interested, you call or text me. And she don't. And she is utidun shots and clean coggins. I love that this horse dances. Isn't that sweet?
Now, also, I would like to point out that, well, I'm glad that if you're standing behind her, she doesn't kick you. Yes. But when they say clean coggins, anybody who has ever gotten a coggins on their horse, if you don't have a clean coggins, you don't have a horse anymore. They don't allow those. It's like, oh, look, she passed the test. How about a current coggins, not a clean coggins? Because if they don't have a clean coggins, you don't have a horse anymore because they have a deadly disease.
I thought clean coggins meant there were no coffee cup stains on it.
That's true.
That could be that too. Because I've certainly seen enough coggins with coffee cup stains.
Isn't that true? Coggins test always has coffee cup stains on.
Yes.
Glenn, this next one sounds like one you would find, but Gemma found it actually. And the title is Wanted. Minions. And the location is my secret lair. Evil genius seeks minions to sacrifice their lives in world domination attempt. Must be prepared to work 24/7 for fascist psychopaths with little regard for your physical or emotional well-being. No pay. You won't need it. Messy death is inevitable. Costumes and laser death rays are provided. This is my favorite line. No weirdos. Oh my gosh. Enough said. That's fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say to that one. The name who we've argued about for weeks, and I don't still know who it is. It's Merrily or Merrill. Wendy and I were fighting about that. It's a pony, $50 in Dorchester, South Carolina. Don't know how old it is. No paperwork on him. He is a stallion. That's it.
Wow.
Short and sweet. Apparently, really, we don't know how high he is. We don't know his height. We don't know what color he is. We don't really know anything about the pony.
But he's not gelded. There you go.
For 50 bucks, you get what you get when you're buying a pony.
Nice. Adrian sent the next one in. This is fantastic. I'm going to try to read this, but again, somebody texted this and they had no spell check or predictive text or anything. I don't know how they even got past. What is wrong with these people? Okay.
So glad you got this one.
Three-year male horse Thor Behel. $1.
Thor Behel?
Thor Behel. Thorbehell. Thor Behel. I read them as it's written, people. Okay. No punctuation. Great looking horse tall has been saddled. Before still needs weaker reasons. Slaling. Have no time to ride it. This will make gratate. Teat racing horche has been fed alfalfa and four way asking 600 or would consider trade for goats or a good pony for kids. For more information, contact me. Thanks.
That was a tough one to read.
That's god awful. That is just awful. Awful.
And isn't tall relative, by the way? You know, I have a great looking horse and he's tall.
That's not even a thing.
He's tall. I guess if you're 4'2", you know, tall is a relative, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was a good one. Very well read. I give you kudos for that one. I couldn't have done that one.
Thank you.
Horse trailer, we have another classic horse. Every week, our listeners don't disappoint us, and every week, they seem to be finding more expensive crappy horse trailers. We'll post this on Facebook, and the ad is very short and sweet.
Read the name of the person who sent it in, because I've got questions for this person. Y'all put your names on these so we can know who you are.
B.B. King Goer?
Is this like a really big B.B. King fan and they go to all the concerts?
Oh, it could be. I didn't think about that.
B.B. King Goer.
I forgot about B.B. King. You're right.
There you go.
Yeah. Horse trailer, $1,750. This is well over our $400 limit for a crappy trailer. And this is the ad. I have a 16-foot horse trailer. That's it. That's what it is.
And there's a fantastic picture that shows every ounce of the blue paint, flat tires, and rust that is on this trailer.
It was definitely hand-painted. You see this roller marks on the sides there? It's definitely hand-painted. And they have it hooked to like a brand new Chevy truck.
Yeah. So I like if you know how you look at an old house and the roof line kind of sags in the middle?
This one does. You're right.
Yeah.
The whole middle goes in.
It sags. I think the tree is. I think the tree is broken.
Do not put horses in this.
Move maybe some baling wires and some I don't know.
Don't put hay in there either. The whole thing will fall apart.
Yeah, it will. Kat sent in the next one. Kat.
I love the title of this one.
Grandma broke gated saddle horse. $600.
Grandma broke the gated saddle horse.
It doesn't say the grandma broke. This thing is more than drunk broke. It's grandma broke. From Northeast Arkansas, Glenn. Arkansas.
Southern accent, baby.
Oh, Lord. Grandma broke gated saddle horse. 7-year-old spotted saddle gelding. Short and stout, 14 and 1 hands tall, built like a quarter horse. Not for beginner, because he'll see if you know him and know what you're doing. Well trained, easy to catch, no grain needed, gentle, no bite or kick, has a new pair of shoes. Sorry, no picks, too computer illiterate. But I can text you picks if you're interested.
She couldn't figure out how to put picks on the Craigslist ad. Hey, I'm confused. Can you translate this for me? Because I have some confusion about this ad. The title says Grandma Broke Gated Saddle Horse, which implies that it's a quiet horse.
Yes.
And then the first thing it says, not for beginner.
Because he's going to see if you know what you're doing. Do you know what you're doing? Well, then you can catch him with no grain.
So it said it should say grandma, experienced grandma broke gated saddle horse. That's what it should say. Let's
It's like if your grandma is Karen O'Connor, then it is a grandma broke gated saddle.
Karen's going to be happy to hear you refer to her as a grandma.
I was trying to think of a female.
She's going to love that.
I don't think Karen listens to the show.
Yeah,
so
I don't think she's ever coming on it either.
She doesn't even have any kids. All right. Diana sent the next one in. Go.
Oh, sorry. It's mine. Lots of trade for good riding mule. Hastings, Florida. Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, that is some sticks right there. That's further out than Palatka, where my mom is.
I am looking for a good ridling mule. Gelding or mare, color doesn't matter. Just good ridling. Completely broke. I have for trade two... Oh, we're going the other way this time. I have for trade two goats, one mini full-grown weather, no more than 30 pounds. I have a Billy will be big goat, white legs, horned chicken hens and roosters, one goose and five ducks, three white pink king and two runners. Woo! Also, I have a ridling mini stud, buckskin paint. Don't know how far training went, but I know I've had a rider on him in the round pen and yard and did amazing. No buck, rear, or bite. Also, I have a coonhound mixed pups for trade.
Oh, my God.
Well, let me know. I have a lots to trade. Please send info with pics. Oh, my God. They're getting rid of the whole farm.
Let me get this straight. Goats, ducks, chickens, puppies, and a horse.
Oh, geese.
Geese.
Oh, geese.
That is impressive.
That's awesome.
She's getting rid of the whole farm. She needs the whole farm and one mule, please. Get rid of all this other crap. They eat too much.
Chickens, roosters, goose, ducks, Peking runners, mini stud, buckskin paint, coonhound, and puppies. Oh, my God. Somebody's safe. Don't give your mule to them, please.
Can you picture this place, though, in rural Florida? Can you just picture it? I can't picture it.
Sadly, yes.
Oh, my God. Last one.
My face hurts.
Yeah. Colleen Peachy sent in this one. 8-year-old quarter appy mare, and this is in Kalispell, which is in Montana, which is gorgeous. So let's see what they've got for sale up there. This is an outstanding mare who, with a lot of time and dedication, will eventually turn into a great animal.
I have ESP, I know.
She's green.
Psychic.
And that's kind of an understatement.
Stop right there. If you ever see an ad like that, and that's the first sentence, just go on to the next one. Go ahead.
Yeah, seriously. How do you know this is an outstanding mare? Because according to the next sentence, you can't even catch her. She's hard to catch when she's put in an open place.
Like
but
your
once
field.
She's, like Kalispell, Montana.
Yes, that's right.
When she's put in an open place, but once she's caught, she's fine with being loved on and brushed. She does not load in two horse trailers for some reason. I'm guessing she's nay air been in one. She really sky dish and doesn't like her ears being touched. She will stand for the farrier and stand tied okay. Just okay, though.
Yeah, half the time.
I think the home she was from before we got her was abusive because she's afraid of her own shadow. I wanted to work with her for barrels, but have to move and can't afford to take her with me and board her somewhere. She would be a great broodmare as well, because she's short and stocky.
Is that what makes a great broodmare?
Are you kidding me? She's short and stocky because nobody likes tall, long, lanky horses like me. We like them short and stocky.
Yeah, short and fat's better.
She's very smart, and with the right set of hands, she could go in any direction. She's 14-2 and beautiful. I just don't have the time for her like she needs. There's a lot of that today. Yes. A lot of people don't have the time.
Don't have the time. We're not having the time. Whew. And you know, just what you want to breed, we'll end on this. This is just what you want to breed, is a mare with all of these issues. Because we love babies with all of those issues. It's just,
yes.
Yeah.
Just so fun.
Yeah.
So fun. And especially big giant horses that are terrified of people. That's awesome.
All right. Let's decide who the winners are. You and Jennifer can decide. I first have Dr. Rose's Remedies gift pack.
Dr. Rose's Remedies. Let's see here. Well, I love, there's so many good ones. How about Adrian, who sent the 3-year male horse Thorbell.
I like Thorbell.
Because that is just a really bad ad.
Yes. Okay. Jennifer, Grooming Essentials. From horsegroomingsolutions.com. And I used the alias there, the one with the alias. You can pick that one, and then I could get this for my pony.
You don't even try. Get out there.
The
lots to trade for good ridling mule.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That made me laugh for a long time.
Well, who is that?
That is Diana Hobart.
Diana, congratulations. Good job. Could you send me a bottle of the Healthy Hair Care DermaClean shampoo?
Move on.
This is a great prize. Worth $120. Triple Crown Nutrition. 5 free bags of feed.
Let's see here. I loved the one who, let's see. Well, Gemma, who sent in the one with the evil genius and minions, wanted no weirdos. How about that one?
That's pretty good. All right, Gemma, you win the 5 free bags of feed. And I think Gemma has some horses she could feed that to. If not, there's a pony named PT that would love it. Just saying. Oh, that's it for this week. That's all we have time for. Thank you for joining us on this Friday. Remember, we are live Monday morning from Philadelphia at the American Equestrian Trade Association show, taking a look at all the cool new products that will be coming to stores and websites near you in the fall. Jamie will be back next Wednesday, and we really appreciate you being here. Have a terrific weekend, everybody. You too, Jamie. Have fun.
Have a great day, spay, neuter, and geld.